Many Bothans died to bring us this information.
Yo, yo, check your expectations at the door. That's the way you're going to wind up enjoying the next 45-odd minutes of This Week in Mormons, everyone. That's right.
As long as you have no expectations, Jeff and I will please you beyond belief.
That is... Ooh, yes, we will. Yes, we will. We love all of you so much.
We sure are.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Who's the best listener of this show? You are. You are. That's
right. All right, we're being ridiculous. We're being ridiculous.
For the first time ever.
I've never seen this happen before.
We'll be very serious. You know what? After last week's super serious Kate Kelly show, I'm all for a little bit more levity this week. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it was a tense moment last week.
Yeah, well, it's been
not tense. There was just a lot going on.
We'll still touch on a little bit of that. There's still some.
No, I feel like we're done
for the most.
The main news is that we're out of the World Cup. We lost to Belgium. And frankly, I don't. I just wish that our guys would have. I wish we had more Americans that didn't play in the MLS and played in real league soccer.
Yeah. Why do you?
And we're better.
Yes. Well, yeah. Why do you think what's-his-face is so dang good? Howard.
Jim Howard?
He's so good? Because he plays for Everton. He plays in the English Premier League.
He was delightful.
That guy has to keep against actual footballers. Not dudes who are like, I'm on the Red Bulls. The Red Bulls? Your team is named after a drink?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, let's not chew the food.
Sorry, I'm eating beef jerky, Jeff. This is a hard one to eat.
Beef jerky is not the best choice. Do you not remember the time I issued a poll to discuss whether you should eat on the air? And the answer was a resounding no.
No, it was like two people cared about your poll, and only one of them said no. And the other one said, I don't care.
It was at least three people.
But two of them were you and Danielle. That counts as one.
I never vote on my own polls. How dare you?
That's not true.
Dare you? I'm sad about the world.
I'm going to do it like Chocolate Rain, where I lean back to chew. So you keep talking.
Chocolate Rain. I'll keep talking. Okay. I don't know if I have much to report on, but it's been.
No, how do you? Wait, we're just done with the World Cup stuff. This consumed my life.
Well, it was a great game. I mean, Tim Howard was amazing. I wish the U.S. team would have played with the same intensity they had in like the last 10 minutes. Because other than that, they seemed very listless and
intimidated.
They were playing too much defense the whole time. I kept being like, they'd get the ball and then they'd just punt it back down to the other end just to get it away and give it back
to
Belgium.
They played a lot of defense and they weren't good at defense. That seemed to be the problem, I felt.
And I'd
like.
Say,
that's
guys, if you're stealing the ball away from them, don't just kick it away and hope that you can make a move further downfield. Just take the ball and, you know, work a formation, make something happen. But
this is Jeff gives me the same advice for dating.
I do.
They are identical. He has one coaching advice. Yeah. Guys, don't take the ball.
Hold
it back here. You got to drive it down the field.
Except baseball, where if you're batting, you don't want to hold onto the ball.
That's fair.
Baseball is actually unique amongst major sports because it's the only one where the projectile is actually
the
where the offense actually wants to be as far away from the projectile as possible. Every other sport, you know, basketball, football, everybody, you want the ball. But in baseball, no. You do not want that ball.
No, you want it to come to you, and then you want to hit it away. The same as in basketball, where you want it, and then you want to send it away.
Yeah, but even in baseball, you can't even touch the ball if you're the offense. If you touch the ball when you're on the offense, you're out. Unless you get hit by a pitch, you know, obviously. But
excellent point. And then you get a free base. Hey-o. Yeah,
a BB. A base on balls. So the World Cup's exciting. I don't know who you're pulling for now. What's your quarterfinal bracket like?
I want the Swiss. What do you mean they lost? Then Argentina.
Okay, then. I'm
going for Messi. I'm just all Messi now.
I want Costa Rica to take the whole thing.
What about the Ivory Coast? Are they out?
They're out. Colombia, well, yeah, they didn't make it past the group stage, unfortunately. So teams I want to see go far. I want Colombia to beat Brazil. Just because I want anyone to beat Brazil. And Colombia's actually played some great football, so I'd love to see them go on. Germany-France, I'm neutral on that game. I have no preference.
Go Germany. I hate the French.
Okay, there we go. Argentina, Belgium.
Argentina for sure. Argentina, Belgium needs to go down.
Argentina
hard.
Will win, but part of me wants to say Belgium just because how often does Belgium go anywhere in the World Cup, you know?
Didn't we just lose to Belgium?
Though, if the Netherlands were to beat Costa Rica and Belgium were to beat Argentina, you would have a Netherlands-Belgium semifinal. A low countries bash. Talk about smashing it up. How often do the low countries ever have the chance to fight about anything? Oh, this will be wonderful.
Yeah. All right. Excellent point, Joe.
This could be good. Though I'm pulling for, but Costa Rica versus Argentina could be good too. Basically, I want Costa Rica to go the distance. I think that's what's necessary.
No, I want Argentina.
Why?
Finally, a country that has never won a soccer championship.
They've won the World Cup, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. They may have.
I
just feel like they've earned it with that Messi fellow.
I believe they've won many. I mean, Brazil has the most, but I'm pretty sure Argentina has a handful of them under their belt.
Wait, so besides the World Cup, what have you been up to this week, Jeff? Yeah, what exciting things
Argentina
have you
won
done?
It in 1986. But that is their only one. What else have I been
doing? Tell me about your life. Did you go out to a dinner or play a board game?
I'm trying to think. I went to the beach. What now?
Oh. Happy 4th of July to you,
Abe. Yeah, it was actually very fun. The problem with D.C. is there's water everywhere. But if you actually want to go to the real beach, the actual Atlantic Ocean.
You got to go to Duck Beach. I've heard that.
We didn't go to Duck. You actually go to Ocean City, Maryland, or we went to Rehoboth in Delaware. So a group of us from our ward, mostly married couples, a few outlying single people who don't know what they were thinking, but that's okay. We all went out to Rehoboth, which involves meeting up at 5:30 in the morning.
Is Rehoboth, is that the whore in the Bible that they kill?
Yeah, sure. Let's go with that.
Okay.
So it was actually a lot of fun. The thing that cracks me up here about the beach, though, is, yeah, you have to get up at the crack of dawn because you want to beat traffic in the first place, and especially on the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, you want to beat traffic going on that thing because it's a bottleneck to get over to the eastern shore. So
I know that's true.
But it was a fun day. Nice weather. Enjoyed playing in the surf. Good times all around. Had some great barbecue and this little dump. It took them like an hour to give us our food, though. Don't know what that was all about.
Was it delicious?
It was good.
They were smoking it.
That's what we wondered. It was good barbecue. I was a little bothered that we had to wait so dang long for it, but it was still good. No. It was still good. So that was the big highlight of the weekend. I did that, and other than that, I'm just trying to learn more about my calling and how to be effective with it.
How is Elderscorn presiding?
Well,
presidenting.
It's slow going. I believe I talked last week about the difficulties in reporting for home teaching, and so
yeah,
that's something. And
have your counselors rallied around you, and you have changed the face of that DC ward?
Yeah, already in 2 weeks.
Well, Jeff,
everything is.
What have you been doing?
Legislating. No. So anyway, that's going fine too. It's fun. How are you doing? What's going on?
Oh, I'm well. I'm well. Get ready to fly back to Missouri in the morning. That'll be good because I love Missouri, and there is work to be done. We had the delightful experience of being audited by the post office today.
Oh, you want to go public with that? Yes. Tell me more.
So that's exciting. Well, it's just being audited by any organization. Well, because they all they come and check on you, and we're 6 years old. We've always been small enough that it's just like, meh, whatever. And now we're not tiny anymore. Sometimes I forget that. I forget that the people are like watching you.
I mean, didn't you tell me the post office in Hamilton had to hire more workers to handle the volume that you're chucking at them?
Oh, yeah.
So eventually you were going to be noticed because you're like the only business in town.
That's right. Well, and they brought their they brought like the regional managers and directors and stuff. They bring them out and give them tours of our place. And now they just need us to fix a few things. Turns out
that sounds like it was all a front. So the regional people are like, "Oh, let's see this flourishing business." When in all reality, they were taking notes and seeing.
You know what's really funny about it is they came in and like I would ask them. I'm like, "This is a little unorthodox. We're doing this. Is that all right?" "Oh yeah, that's fine. That's fine." But what this branch over here says and what the auditing people have said are two different things.
Mm.
We didn't know.
Those monsters.
We could not have known.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, that's still not fun.
No, that's all right. I forgive you.
Thank you.
The bigger piece, though, is the 4th of July coming up.
Yeah.
And what will we do? blow things up, Jeff? Do you have any big plans? Are you?
Yeah. But you know, I think it's just going to be the pretty typical things. Barbecue. I might go down to Mount Vernon in the morning, and but then you know, barbecuing in the afternoon.
Don't they have a big show in D.C.? Like you can go to the White House, or the Capitol lawn, and watch fireworks.
Well, you can't go on the lawn, but yeah, the 4th is huge on the Mall, and it's something everyone has to do once, especially if they live out here. You go, you camp out on the Mall. They have concerts all day, massive fireworks show on the Mall, and the nice thing is, since it's so open with all the parks and the monuments and stuff, even across the river, you can camp out at various locations. So we might go, I think, somewhere near the Pentagon and just sit there and you can watch all the fireworks from across the river.
Oh, yeah. Or the Theodore Roosevelt Garden.
His island, you mean?
Yeah.
That's a good one. That would be an okay location for it.
Thank you.
Not a bad thought, actually. A little bit upriver. Aha! But yeah. So that'll be the 4th. It'll, you know,
I've done it again.
Hanging out with friends, doing things. I hope everyone here has a wonderful 4th of July. We're sorry to have a show so late in the week to you on a holiday weekend, but we hope you'll still.
I don't mind as much as Jeff.
I do. You don't understand the intricacies of demographics and scheduling.
That's fair.
So bold. You would want us to post one of our most boring shows against the Winter Olympics if we were on broadcast television. And I say, no, it's better to do a rerun that week. Better to do a rerun.
All right, that's fair. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, whatever.
So we got some big news this week.
All kinds of just random stuff going on this week, yeah. A lot of news.
If you had to pick the headliner, it'd probably be the Hobby Lobby piece, right?
Oh, I will give the headline to Hobby Lobby, yes.
So... Hobbies and lobbies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is interesting because it's been going around for a while where with the Obamacare stuff, the Affordable Health Care Act, they were saying that companies had to provide health care and it was a universal health care plan sort of standard. And in that was birth control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, birth control. And Hobby Lobby said, no, we are a privately held company. We would like to be able to dictate by our own conscience how we run this or what program we offer. It was the Supreme Court, right, that upheld it?
Went all the way to the Supreme Court. Well, the Supreme Court basically struck down that provision of the Affordable Care Act.
Well, and what it was is it was for, like, the four kinds of birth control out of 20. And so there's four kinds that, like the morning after pill, the week after pill, those kind of things that they feel like harms the fetus after conception or after it's been fertilized.
Well, one's the embryo,
right?
Yeah, because there's some birth control that prevents actual fertilization of an egg, and there are others that there are others that prevent the egg from actually implanting in the uterine wall, and so that's what this was more about. Ones like that.
Now, people like all of my Facebook feed was like, "Oh my gosh, we've taken a huge step backwards for women's rights.
Yeah.
Women are oppressed based on religious freedom." Do you feel like that's the case, Jeff? Do you see any merit in that, or is that just a misunderstanding of the ruling?
I hate speaking about it at all as a man, but I don't know. I should ask Danielle what she feels. She doesn't care.
She's a woman, Jeff. Don't bother.
She does. We have the priesthood, dang
it. This is men talking about women's
issues. This is men talking about women's issues. An all-male Supreme Court made this ruling, by the way. I can definitely see all sides of this argument, honestly. And I'll admit, I don't think I have strong opinions.
Talk through it real quick.
So I understand the notion of you're saying, like, look, I have a small company and we're based on family values that are also rooted in religious stuff. And so we don't want to provide contraception. The church itself does not provide contraception for its regular employees. Danielle and I actually talked about this, whether old BYU health insurance covered birth control, because I think it does. But church employees don't get it. Where did you go, Al?
I'm just listening, Jeff.
Okay, I don't know where you went. Just lies down. Okay, so Al is on the floor in the fetal position, everyone. So
I'm stuck in my bedroom, so I'm sitting on my bed. It's just natural. I just lean back.
Fair enough. Do what you want. So, So I guess the kicker there is it's people view it as a religious freedom issue, a free speech issue. The church is on board with this ruling because it says, hey, it violates our religious stuff to require us to provide birth control. I do think it's interesting, though, because at the end of the day, you know, it's your employees who might be the ones who don't necessarily believe in birth control. I guess it's fine if you don't. I guess.
Well, the Hobby Lobby position is that they didn't want to have to pay for these drugs that they didn't believe in.
Well, right? But the other funny thing with it is if people are missing is based on this ruling, if your company is under the Hobby Lobby ruling, and as a woman, you still want birth control because of it, women are still privy to free birth control from the federal government because they're being denied it by their employer. And that's pretty much been standard procedure for a long time. So we can't argue on the side that you know, you're being denied rights as a woman or whatever else. But there's also what we're forgetting is options are available still to those women, even if it doesn't come from your employer.
Now, are we okay with birth control being an inalienable right for women?
And I feel like I feel like that's the other question. Is birth control an inalienable right, as you say? Or is birth control a right or a privilege? You know?
Well, because I'm sure this is bigger than what I understand it to be, but like from a medicine standpoint, right? Like, I mean, the government's not going to pay for my vitamin C that I buy over the counter and take, or you know, like preventative drugs and things of that nature aren't covered in most healthcare plans. And so a preventative prevent me from getting a baby. I don't know. Like, there's a part of me that says, why would you need someone else to pay for that? Why would you think that was a right and not a Yahoo?
And I think the thing to bear in mind, so people remember, this applies to a narrow scope of companies. Okay, it's not a lot of people. It covers
if you're a publicly traded company, not allowed to do anything with that.
Yeah, it only applies to what are called closely held corporations. So these are corporations that might have stockholders, but they don't trade regularly on the stock market. So like Al said, you're not publicly held. You're a company that has stock for the sense of ownership of the various parties who own it. But so it's a much narrower scope along those lines.
Now, does this set any kind of a precedent?
That's the concern. Yeah.
As a Mormon, right? Like there's a lot of other religions out there that have some quirky views that I might not think are fair. And like, does it all of a sudden empower all of those? Well, some of the ones we talked about, blood transfusions for, what is it, Seventh-day Adventists?
Well, this does not outline that. This deals specifically with the birth control mandate in Affordable Care Act, but I do think it opens the doors to all sorts of other lawsuits on any number of issues. That it could be that,
So if your employer is a weird Quaker, he should be able to deny you, or like, let's say they're Amish, they should be able to deny paying for anything electrical.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what we're seeing is the concepts of free expression of religion is running right up against concepts of discrimination, and that they've always existed, but I feel like now they are really smashing into each other. And so, because who's to say someone's not going to say, well, other part of my religious beliefs is I don't want to provide services to gay and lesbian couples because that goes against my religious beliefs. I believe that's an abomination before the Lord. You know, whatever it may be. And who's to say that the Hobby Lobby thing can't be a precedent for someone to say it was totally okay for them not to supply birth control, and birth control is a choice, and sex out of wedlock is a choice, and not wanting to have kids is a choice you're making, you know? And they could say, I should have the freedom to deny these things. And that, I think, is where stuff starts getting quite a bit
murkier. Now, there's an element of the free market to this where if you don't like my benefits package that I'm offering, you're welcome to leave, right?
True.
You are welcome to choose a job. I mean, right now, I'm just barely offering benefits to my employees. But up to this point, if they wanted a job that provided benefits, that wasn't me. They needed to go somewhere else, and I was fine with that. And I provided benefits so that I could compete on that level for recruiting people and getting them to come work for me. I'm honestly a company that was able to say, no, I'm not going to. Well, so a company that was able to say the birth or the health control plan that I'm providing will not cover any of these conditions, I think is probably different than a company saying, I'm not going to hire you because you're black or because you're gay and my religion doesn't allow that. Right. I don't think it's discrimination. I think it's like when you're customizing your offering to your employees, and it's not that you can't work here because you're a woman, it's that we're just providing a health package that's different. I think that's a different conversation than what people are jumping to.
That's true, but what if it's forcing someone to change career paths entirely? Like, what if hypothetically they want to be working in the industry that, that you're in. They want to be in quilting in one way or another, doing what you do.
Sure.
But because of your are you not discriminating because you're not allowing them certain types of care because of what you want to do, and therefore you are denying someone that sort of.
So the
sort of
idea
coverage.
That maybe I've got a weird kind of cancer and I have to get a blood transfusion all the time, and the employer that I want to go work for is it Seventh Day Adventists that don't like blood transfusions?
No, it's Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, no, Jehovah's Witnesses. Uh-huh. That's right. So let's say my employer is a Jehovah's Witness, and they refuse to provide that. So you're suggesting that because they don't want to provide that piece of healthcare, that they would be, in essence, discriminating against me because I need that.
Well, what I'm saying is, while many people are able to choose their place of employment by taking healthcare into consideration, there are, for many people, that's not an option.
Or you go buy your own, which is what I do.
Yeah, but for many people, you know, it is a fact that for many people, they don't have as many options. And so they are more at the mercy of what's offered to them. So, and I think that's especially true in smaller areas, like where you live, Al, and stuff, you know, out there in Missouri. Obviously, with more people, you have more options, but you don't always have it. Don't always have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but a lot of this, of course, is a slight against women. All of the three female justices on the Supreme Court dissented on it, and I understand Judge Ginsburg's dissent was brilliant. I myself have not actually read it, though. I should.
It was brilliant, though I haven't read it. Had you read the actual decision?
It's 95 pages. I don't have like legislative correspondents doing work for me. I'm not a senator.
Oh my gosh, Jeff.
Ain't no one paying me for that, fool. I'm an Elders Quorum president. I've got time for this.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Okay, well, so that's big news. I'm not sure. Like, the church is excited about it.
The church is very excited, like, about it. The church thinks, because for the church itself, this says the church can soldier on without having to supply birth control, which we've always found fascinating because, unlike, say, more Orthodox Catholics. Orthodox, yeah. Catholic, but whatever. Our book says birth control is just a private decision between families. We don't have anything on the books that says we believe birth control is wrong and it's messing with God's will. And so I've always
I find it very amusing
that we don't supply it.
I feel like talking about this as though it's birth control is a little bit disingenuous, because it's not. I mean, it's not the pill that they're against. It's not condoms that they're against. It's the idea that you can get pregnant and then abort that pregnancy with a pill that they're against, right?
Well, yeah, well, yes and no. And now we're getting into some of the areas of defining what conception actually is, and that's a whole other that's a whole other topic, though.
But that's, I mean, that understanding, that's where both our religious group and the Church of Hobby Lobby take issue with this.
Yeah, because you're right. A big part of this is Plan B, or, you know, morning after pills, stuff like that.
I'd like to go to the Church of Hobby Lobby.
And that is where they, and that's where a lot of the issues were, because they felt that the morning after pill, for them as Christians, felt like that was, as you said, Al, sort of a pre-abortion. You know, you might not have a fetus developing it, but you have a fertilized egg that would implant, hypothetically, and you are preventing it from doing so. It's not a matter of just preventing actual fertilization.
All right, so we got a ton of other stuff to do.
Weird
here.
Stuff Let's going see. On, yeah.
You want the next one? You go next, Jeff. Oh. What else would you like to talk about? I'll talk about
I wanna
it.
Talk,
Tell me anything.
I
want to
talk about dumb missionaries real quick. Dumb 18-year-olds. You let them leave their house for a year, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to raise like a U.S. flag, which they then draw on. And
they raised their mission shirt.
They draw on a flag because their mission stuff. They climbed Mount Olympus, which is the tallest summit in the Salt Lake Valley. If you're ever in the valley and look eastward and see the tallest mountain there, that's Mount Olympus. They decided it would be fun to write, "Go baptize only Utah Salt Lake City East Mission," said the T-shirt. And they actually put in a cement anchor for a flagpole. They went to that's. This is a lot of effort for a hike. I mean, they brought a flagpole.
80 pounds of cement.
Yeah, they brought cement, a flagpole, everything ready to go, and said, you know what we should do? We should vandalize federal forest property. That sounds like a good idea. Let's go do that, elders. This will be the best preparation day ever. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I'm sure they've got had words spoken to them by their mission president, but you're just like, really? Where?
What a bunch of goobers.
Where is the? I mean, this is up there with those scout leaders who toppled the rocks, you know, down in southeast Utah months ago. Just why? Why would you do this? Where is your common sense? If there's not a flagpole there in the first place, do you not think someone might have thought of that in the past? Like, there should be a flagpole here. I claim this land for the church. No one's done it because it's federal property.
We claim this land for Jesus.
I just think they're just such a... And now the beauty of it is they've all had to go back up there to Mount Olympus and remove the flagpole and the concrete and take it all away.
Oh, what a way to spend a few days.
Just
goobers.
Just idiots. I have nothing positive to say about what these missionaries did. And I guess it's both good and bad it happened in Utah. It's good in the sense
that because everybody's like, oh, it's fine.
Everybody's like, oh, it's the elders. We kind of understand. It's also bad because I think a lot of other people are saying, like, stupid Mormons at it again, just having their run of the place. But maybe if this would have happened in some more remote area, it would look even worse where people would wonder if dumb Mormons were running into town and destroying nature. They're like, who are you fools? Yeah. So that happened. Congratulations, Salt Lake City East Mission. You are Reaganing. You are having a great week.
You can do no wrong. Along with congratulating people.
Mm. Yes.
That's my transition. That's all I had prepared.
A beautiful
segment. Jabari Parker.
I love him.
Had an article written about him in the New York Times. Now, Jabari Parker is interesting right now because he left after his freshman year at Duke. So he went 1 year of college. I'm guessing the math classes were harder than he expected, and he decided he had to drop out of college.
No, he had to get out after Duke had that porn star. You can't have Jabari Parker and a porn star in the same campus. It doesn't work.
There was a Duke porn star?
We talked about this. I don't want to sit on it, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There was a freshman who was engaged in the industry, we'll call it.
Oh, and they got kicked out. I remember.
She didn't get kicked out. She didn't do anything illegal. She was just, yeah. Very strange.
Oh, well, I don't remember this discussion then. Anyway.
Probably better than you know.
So, Jabari Parker, 19-year-old, he's foregoing a mission. He's foregoing a mission and deciding that he's taken his, he's going to be a better missionary up with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
No. Milwaukee Bucks. He's on the Bucks.
Oh, Milwaukee Bucks. That's just as bad. Like, if he would have gone to a, I don't know, maybe a team that had some sort of media exposure, I feel like you could say, yeah, no, I'm going to be a better missionary here.
Yeah.
Like, let's say he went to the Indiana Pacers, say. You're going to get great exposure and do a good work. The Bucks, no one watches
no one
the Bucks.
Or imagine if he would have gotten on the Clippers or something like that. That would have been sweet. But the problem
yeah.
is no one watches the Bucks, which is why the Bucks got a good draft pick, because the Bucks stuck, right? So that's why they get a draft pick.
So now they got Bucky, and
but I don't know how it works in basketball when you're drafted. I mean, obviously he still has to actually they draft him, which just means that they get to negotiate with him. He could still turn it down, couldn't he?
I mean, that's how baseball is. You don't play.
Yeah,
I think you have to take it. And then
but sometimes, like
out.
In baseball, people get drafted and then they just don't go along with the terms, and then they just float out there and try to have an agent get them somewhere else. But I do agree.
I don't know.
It's more dangerous. So Milwaukee Bucks.
Well, so anyway, he's the first African American Mormon to be drafted into the NBA, and that's pretty exciting. Good for him.
Yeah.
So there's some cool stuff there. The downside is this whole article is just talking about how not everybody needs to serve a mission, and I mean it's kind of got some weird references from. Who was it? Marvin J. Ashton.
Oh, it's got some awesome references.
He was like, a prophet needs to say that every young man should serve a mission because that's the expectation. But we know that a mission is not for everybody, and not every young man can serve.
Yeah, you have a broad standard, but there are exceptions.
I just feel like dwelling on the idea that maybe I'm the exception because I'm special. Right. is a harmful line of thought to go down. There's also one by L. Tom Perry, who came to visit Bruce Hurst, who was a pitcher for the Boston Red Sox from 1980 to 1988. And he was a star athlete that was struggling with the question of whether he should serve a mission. And L. Tom Perry sat down and said, you know, wouldn't it be marvelous, though? You can kind of hear him saying it. Wouldn't it be marvelous, though, to get drafted by the Red Sox and have 35,000 people watch you, and then three times that number, read what you said in the paper the next day.
You do have to wonder, though, how much of this was peppered in by the fact that Elder Perry is a Red Sox fan. I mean, how much of his – counsel as an apostle was being skewed by his own personal bias right here.
Well, and they talk a little bit about the culture of the church just to make you feel guilty if you don't go and things like that. And
which we do.
I think that actually the church is getting better at being more accepting of that by and large. But, man, I still can't think of a more meaningful way to spend 2 years than as a missionary. There just isn't. I mean, pro athlete or not, like those 2 years of going and developing as a person are going to pay huge dividends as you come into these other experiences in your life. So... yeah, I mean, sure, not everybody has to go. And if you don't go, nobody dies. Yeah. Nothing dramatic happens. You're not in trouble. Nothing happens. I mean, that's the truth of it.
But there's always,
if you do go, there's great things to come.
But there's always the risk you go on your mission, you come back, and then your professional career is never the same because you can't pick up where you left off, and it's over. You know?
Yeah.
But that's risk you take. And I think it's a personal choice. Hopefully it'll be fine for him in the end. And maybe he'll have a blazing career for 7 years, and then he'll go on a mission when he's 26. It'll be great.
We wish him the best.
I actually love that President Monson quoted him in General Conference, which is just awesome. President Monson's advice.
Jabari?
Yeah.
What did he say?
In the spring, I believe it was during the priesthood session, President Monson quoted Parker during General Conference, and he recounted advice that Parker said his father had given him. And the advice was, just be the same person you are in the dark that you are in the light, Monson said. Important advice, brethren, for all of us. Those are the last words of the article.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a fair point. And I think Jabari Parker, mission or not, is clearly a stand-up guy with a testimony who, you know, he's about the church, and I think he's a strong representative of the good the church can do in one's life, regardless.
I agree. Let's see here.
I got a couple random ones I can run off right here for all these fine folks. Everyone knows that I love church organization and stats and things along those lines. So, the church has actually organized the first stake in Jamaica. And personally, I am shocked that it has taken this long to organize a stake in Jamaica. I mean, I've had friends who have served missions in Jamaica. You just assume there's more going on in Jamaica than what this lets on. But either way, Elder Holland, after he's been touring around doing all sorts of things, after he went to Cuba, presumably, after stopping over there in Cuba, Elder Holland went down to Jamaica and organized the Kingston, Jamaica stake. So it was attended by...
Wait, Jamaica didn't have a stake?
Jamaica had no stake. I know. But there you go. Elder Holland was there with Jade.
I was going to make a really dumb joke about not having a stake but having jerk chicken instead.
You're an idiot.
But I wouldn't make that, Jeff. I wouldn't say anything like that.
There are no positive words I can use for what you just said. So there we go. I
expect nothing less.
So Jamaica got a stake. There's gonna have six wards.
Oh man, you know what I mean. Jamaica, they got a stake.
Yeah, six wards, two branches. Huge blessing for Jamaica. Good job, Jamaica.
The intro music better be from Cool Runnings this week.
No, it's always our rap, always and forever. Our rap.
Is it? Are we still using that?
That's our theme song. Oh, also, in other stake news, unfortunately, a stake was also discontinued in Japan. So we've broken even, a net even.
Is that what we call it? Discontinued? Are they dissolved? Can the stake be excommunicated? Can we call it that?
Well, we haven't removed its records from the church, but discontinued.
So sure we have. It no longer exists as a church entity.
Well, there was a stake in Okinawa, Japan, called the Jinawan Japan stake. I butchered that, I'm sure.
That's not a real word.
But Japan stake, it was consolidated with the Naha Japan stake. The stake only had four wards and one branch, and this was consolidated. So three wards and one branch were closed as part of the consolidation, resulting in the Naha Japan stake currently having 9 retained congregations, 6 wards and 3 branches. So I guess Okinawa actually has the highest percentage of Latter-day Saints of any administrative prefecture in Japan, but the church has experienced the lowest activity rates in Japan while being there. I wonder if this could be because of service people, though, because Okinawa has a big presence for American service people.
So I wonder now how much that we're not at war with Japan.
I wonder how much that's factored into all of this, especially with us being at odds about maintaining bases there. That's the best thing I could consider. But anyways, so we get a stake, we lose a stake. Other things are happening, but there you go.
All right, we got a bunch here, so I'm gonna go kind of fast. I'm gonna take a couple here. There's an article going around about the divorce rate in the church. Traditionally, it's been said that the divorce rate in the church,
some church,
Well, traditionally, it's been said about our church that the divorce rate in the church and out of the church is about the same. It's about 50%. There's an article that says, but if you take just active, worthy members of the church, it's closer to 20%. Which, for me, would explain why all the hot women that I've been waiting to get divorced so I could date them have not been getting divorced. They're still happily married. Why that's a thing. I know. Well, I, like, just playing my odds, I feel like if I was just friends with, I don't know, maybe 20 good married women, that eventually 10 of them would get divorced and I'd have a dating pool that I would already know. And, like, we play board games together.
Let me ask you. You know, you can play Signs. You can play Signs. The only game
Signs, yeah. We'll go to the mall shop and play Signs.
So let me ask you a serious question. Have you ever, in all your with all your braggadocio as a man,
yeah,
not a married woman, but a woman who you know has a boyfriend, have you ever straight up just said, you should be dumping him and dating me? Just like straight up gone for it.
Like saying that great Robin anthem, call your boyfriend.
Exactly.
Tell him he found someone new.
Do you remember how we listened to that song like 12 times through, driving through Ohio at midnight?
That was great.
That's what calls to my mind when I think of that song. But have you ever done that? Have you ever been bold as to just say, no, don't date that guy, date me?
Yes, I have.
How'd that work out?
We dated. I mean, you're not married. We dated for four months. She was a sweet girl.
Okay.
It worked out. I'm not, like, normally there's some man code that exists. If the guy's a decent guy, you let him have his chance. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, I also did inadvertently start dating a woman who turned out to still be married. That whole, I'm separated. Whoa, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that meant.
When was this?
This was 3 or 4 years ago. It wasn't dating. It was just like, I was liking her. We were hanging out a lot. Then it's like, The old husband came back to the picture. I was like, I'm sorry, you, what? What is this? So that was, like, I was under the impression it was headed a different direction. No, we're working things out. I'm like, have I been dating a married woman? These are accidental things that happen. Jeff, as you grow older in the church, you run into these scenarios, and you're not, I mean, I didn't read the book on this stuff. I don't know how this stuff goes. I sometimes even look at the wrong hand to see if there's a ring on it. I'm bad with left and rights, all that stuff. It causes so much trouble. So much trouble. But, moving on. So that was me touching that very quickly.
Congratulations. That was wonderful.
Touching you. Touching you. There's another one that I'm loving right now. In the National Geographic, they're doing a piece on, like, Drugs, Inc. And they have one bit it's called Confessions of an Elder, and it's an elder in our church, an elder like Jeff and I are elders, not a missionary elder. So this man is an ordained Melchizedek priesthood holding elder, and he's a heroin dealer. So
okay.
So they have a little 3-minute interview with him where he's got a Book of Mormon that he's carved out a big chunk in the middle to courier drugs, and he starts off and he's just like, yeah, there's a lot more people using drugs in the church than they say. Interesting, though, he pays tithing on his drug money. So I'm sure you're wondering that, and says he pays a generous tithing on his drug money.
Well, that's important. I hope he's doing that.
And, I mean,
he's like a Robin Hood.
Well, when he sees himself as, he's like, well, you know, drugs are they're out there and they're not going away, and so it's better to have good guy drug dealers. He's sort of the Heisenberg for Mormonism, I feel like.
Yeah, but Heisenberg wasn't a good... Well, Heisenberg...
No, Heisenberg was, family, was all was, good, right? He was making a better product, and he was...
No,
he was,
you could argue that
making
Jesse
money
had
for
more
his
of a
poor wife.
Jesse was more Robin Hood-y.
Well, in the end, sure. Yes.
Jesse was just throwing the money around in the streets, just didn't know what to do.
In the end, yes. But in the beginning, no. I mean, it was Heisenberg that was the good guy.
The thing I don't love about this video, though, I think it's fascinating, but they very much tout him as a Mormon elder, for the lay public to assume that this means he's some kind of higher
up. If you were a National Geographic interviewer, you wouldn't know the difference between an elder that's a proselyting elder and an elder that's not a proselyting elder. I mean, you can't
expect. So the point is, he's an elder in the sense that he's in the office of elder, just like
a missionary is in the office of an elder.
Yeah. But he's not like this isn't a 70 or anything like that.
No.
And so they don't differentiate that. They really tattered up like elders can ordain men as priests. Priests are 16-year-old guys, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's so weird that this guy's just like, yeah, you know, just dealing the drugs. I don't know where he says he is. They don't name the city.
Well, no.
Based on the
I'm in Hamilton, area. Missouri, just dealing drugs. It's like, I know that guy.
Well, I was trying to tell based on I think the mountains and the rampant poverty.
That was just standard B-roll footage for Mormonism, though. That's stuff you download.
No, I'm pretty sure they were in Ogden.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me either. Well, here's what's crazy about this, though.
They were
in
Ogden.
I think there's a lot of people that, like, sort of, you know, you stumble into these. I feel like if I started dealing drugs, I would just continue my life as normal, and I would keep paying tithing as normal, even though this guy apparently is making about, $80,000 to $100,000 a month. You just pay some tithing on that. I don't know. Kind of crazy how you can rationalize stuff in your head and make it all fit, but he's doing
well,
it.
Well, then again, you could be arguing, like, I'm not using the drugs.
Well, and he's selling them and not killing people, so maybe that's the thing.
Think about this, though. Now, obviously, you get in trouble with the church if you felony stuff like that. Like, yeah, we care about that.
Yeah, that might happen.
He would get excommunicated. He would. I'm confident.
Sure.
But one could argue in a world where, you know, if the cocaine wasn't totally illegal, you could say, look, I'm just selling the stuff. I'm not responsible for what people do with it.
Yeah, are you allowed to...
That same logic applied to many members on my mission. There were many active members who owned bars because it's just commonplace.
Bars are not illegal.
But no, that's what I'm saying. I know. I understand that element of it. But just sort of the right or wrong, the moral angle. She'd be like, yeah, but you're serving people alcohol. They'd say, I'm not responsible for what people do. I'm just there selling stuff. And so how will this shit be shaped, say, in Colorado? Could you legally be a marijuana vendor? Publicly so, and still be fine in the church. This is a more slippery slope than Hobby Lobby.
This is the Heisenberg story. We've cracked it.
Said he. I want to talk like President Monson, and whenever I am going to cite a quotation, I will say, said he.
Okay.
And then go forth with my quote.
No, that's good.
Said she. We love Mormon Heisenberg.
Yeah, I was very entertained.
Mormon Heisenberg, if you're listening, we will preserve your anonymity. Come be on our show.
we'll be accomplices to your crime.
Not accomplices, journalists.
Same thing. all right. Let's see. Other great things. Is there any Kate Kelly stuff going on you want to talk about, Jeff?
Well, not Kate Kelly explicitly, but of course you couldn't miss last week when the church released a statement, a rare statement actually, by the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 Apostles on various things like apostasy. It's so obviously related to everything going on with Kate Kelly. I will just read
it to you. How can you say that, Jeff?
It's only three paragraphs. So listen up. Said he, in God's plan for the happiness and eternal progression of his children, the blessings of his priesthood are equally available to men and women. Only men are ordained to serve in priesthood offices. All service in the church has equal merit in the eyes of the Lord. We express profound gratitude for the millions of Latter-day Saint women and men who willingly and effectively serve God and his children. Because of their faith and service, they have discovered that the church is a place of spiritual nourishment and growth. We understand that from time to time, church members will have questions about church doctrine, history, or practice. Members are always free to ask such questions and earnestly seek greater understanding. We feel special concern, however, for members who distance themselves from church doctrine or practice and, by advocacy, encourage others to follow them. Simply asking questions has never constituted apostasy.
All right, apostasy, we get it, Jeff. We get it.
Is repeatedly acting in clear, open, and deliberate public opposition to the church or its faithful leaders, or persisting after receiving counsel in teaching false doctrine. Two definitions then. So you're either persisting after receiving counsel in teaching false doctrine, or repeatedly acting in clear, open, and deliberate public opposition to the church or its leaders. So obviously targeted at everything that's going on right now.
Well, so that's...
And ordained...
That's there.
Ordained women also responded to this.
Oh, they did?
Which is fascinating. This is what ordained women says, because Kate Kelly believes this actually exonerates her. So they say, said they, we sustain the First Presidency and Quorum of the 12 Apostles and are grateful to receive guidance from our leaders. We pray they will continue to respond directly to the needs and desires of church members and take their concerns and questions to God. The statement describes current church policy on priesthood, in which, quote, only men are ordained to serve in priesthood offices, unquote. There is no mention of why women cannot be ordained or that they will not be in the future. We continue in that sincere hope that our leaders will prayerfully bring this question to the Lord. We also acknowledge that the statement publicly discloses the official definition of apostasy from Church Handbook of Instructions, Volume 1, a volume of church policy that is available to thousands of male leaders, but restricted to only 9 women in the church. We affirm that we are not acting in opposition to the prophet or the church, have not taught false doctrine, and do not meet any definition of apostasy. Signed, the Board of Ordained Women.
They got him. I think they're missing something there.
What do you believe they're missing here, then, Al?
Well, what I believe they are missing is the, the idea that they've done nothing wrong, right? That they have not advocated that the church is not correct or that they're not doing it right. Where in fact they have. I feel like that's what's missing.
I think what's missing is the very fact that, like they say, belief is one thing, and I think it was different when something went from a belief that one had about female ordination, and it shifted into a teaching. And I think that's when things changed. It's one thing to have a belief, but it's another thing when you are teaching something as...
When you've created doctrine of your own and said this is the way it's supposed to be.
Even if you're arguing that it's not a doctrine, the bottom line is you are teaching something that is contrary to what the church says. And you're actively teaching that and trying to recruit people to that line of thinking. So, of course, there's a problem there. And I do wish ordained women would just show any form of contrition. And I've said it before. Anything. Just to appear a little bit more moderate, you know? This doesn't have to be so zero-sum. That's all.
So we had... I'm sorry. I talked
over. Oh, I don't know. I mean, I've just got some other random... Let's see.
I was going to go real quick on the pro-Russian supporters that have taken over a chapel in Ukraine, in Donetsk.
Uh-huh.
So I guess what happened is they were... Like, it's just a community building sort of thing that they took over as their headquarters, much to the chagrin of church leaders over there. So
yeah, and to all of
us. We don't have any new information on this. We don't know if they're still there, if it was just a temporary thing, but kind of nuts.
That stinks. That does stink. The church should issue a statement on that. Hi,
lots
we're
more
disappointed.
Statements.
We are disappointed with the seizure of our own private property by militant forces, and we encourage them to give it back. Signed, Michael Otterson. It'll be great.
That's a great idea.
Do you remember from it's been almost a year. Remember a year ago, it's been over a year. A year ago, this guy Wayne Dodge assaulted somebody in a church building because they took his seat.
Yeah, they were in
remember
his
this?
Pew. No.
They
you
were
don't
in his
sit
pew.
In that man's pew.
There was a missionary farewell, so it was crowded, and so a visiting family didn't know, that there's an organization of these things, an assumed place where people sit every Sunday. And they sat in his pew. It got really ugly, even so much that later on, the man actually exited, and then the guy hit him with his car, too. Hit him with his car.
That was one time he hit him with his car, Jeff. I don't know why we keep going back to that.
So he's only had to pay a $500 fine, no contact with the victim, but he's going to serve 30 days in jail.
Worth
it.
Done. Worth it.
And that is the U.S. legal system, folks. That took 1 year to sort that one out for a 30-day
jail.
He got
his pew back, though. He got his pew back.
Good job. I'd also like to note a great one, a humorous one that I enjoyed this week, called Enchanted by an LDS General Authority.
Uh-huh.
Did you see this one, Al?
I did.
It's just a KSL listing for two chairs that apparently have been we're in an apartment that's used for general authorities who are visiting from out of town. And so the apartment's been refurnished, and so they're selling these chairs. What's funny is just the write-up. It's all very, very Mormon cliche, biblical stuff. You know,
they're saying because apostles have sat in them, they're enchanted now, yes?
Well, that, but then they're joking. The whole writing of it's funny, though. I mean, they say, by benefit of my birthright, these golden seats of strength have passed into my possession. Now, though, I have received revelation that that my time with these marvelous works and wonders must come to a close. I testify with every fiber of my being that these single-serving couches provide a celestial level of comfort. It's silly, but I laughed. I thought it was funny. It was very amusing. Let's be honest here. So verily I say unto thee, comfortable seating has been manifested upon the earth.
All right. All right. It's probably you that wrote it, and you're just trying to plug it, and you sneaky.
I do not post a KSL.
Let's see. There's a Saturday's Warrior is returning after its 40th.
Why?
40 years ago it was put on, and it's coming back as a play in Arizona. I'm not sure. Not sure where. But
just Arizona in
general. Just Arizona. And so they're saying it's a big, beautiful show, taking more than 20,000 man hours to put together. So
I'm sure it's heavenly.
Very exciting things. I'm excited for A Nose is a Nose is a Rose is a Rose Part 2.
But they brought it up to modern. Like they've actually restructured it. They've brought it up to
Will
code,
there still be tank tops to indicate the non-member heathens? And capped sleeves to indicate the good ones. I don't know. Maybe
I hope so.
Not.
But I hope it filters all the way down to you know, 6-year-old girls.
Will they be driving a Jeep, or will they now be in some sort of a Kia Soul?
No, it'll be a Nissan Leaf.
A Nissan Leaf. That's the cool kid car. They're all hanging out of it.
Yeah.
Hey,
listen, come on, Flanders, let's go, man.
What?
I don't know anything about. I've never seen Saturday's Warrior.
Jeff, you would.
I have zero functional knowledge of.
You would
it.
Love this. I'll find
I just
it
know
and
it's
send it to you.
Famous. Find it for me.
One other one. Let's see. 170 years ago, on June 27th, was the anniversary of the martyrdom of the Prophet Joseph Smith, and also an anniversary of the rededication of the Nauvoo Temple. So, meaningful dates in the church history.
170 years ago. Other news. Ordained janitors. Everybody. Al hates it. I think it's just funny. I mean, come on.
It's stupid.
It's a website copying ordained women whose purpose is to actually get the church to pay for janitors again. If you remember, up until like the early mid-90s, the church used to pay cleaning people to take care of its buildings. Then it decided in some sort of a move of consecration or whatever that we should be the ones going to do that. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's always a struggle to get people to go and clean the building on Saturday mornings. I've never seen it not be a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
So they believe that we have a right to pay people. And you know what? I say if we can invest all the money to build City Creek, we can pay janitors. So I'm on board with this. I'm signing up.
You're on board. You're in.
I'm in. If this results in me having a disciplinary council, so be it. This is my faith.
I'm against it. I think it's stupid.
If I don't stand up for this cause, I would be being inauthentic to myself. And that is not appropriate. I must be authentic to myself, and I believe in paying people to do work that I don't want to do because I'm a capitalist.
You are a capitalist. That's fair. Okay. Well,
also,
whatever. I think it's stupid.
Well, that's
fine. Let's see. Apparently, so the Mormon Battalion site in California got an award. Yay them.
What was the award?
Just some award from the tourism.
Most well-done overkill for a site most people don't care about, which it deserves. It's a very well-done site.
They got it. There's also a petition going around to have LDS leaders screened, run just a generic background check, a criminal background check, to see if they're criminals before letting them work with children. So two things. One, great idea. We should be doing that. Absolutely. Two, are petitions the right way to get this stuff done? Is there, like...
I believe the events of the past 3 weeks have shown us that petitioning is the only way to get things done. Indeed, we should be marching ourselves on.
What if we got a bunch of sex offenders to march into priesthood? Or march? They would have to march on the Relief Society so that they were recognized.
Yeah, I will gladly say this. If they were to actually let sex offenders into the priesthood session because they're dudes and not let women in, okay.
Jeff, that happens all the time. Nobody checks if you're a sex offender.
You just have to be a man.
Sex
offenders have to have like identification with them. They should be required to disclose if they are registered sex offenders before going into church meetings.
Is that true?
Sure. Why not?
They have to produce their papers. Like at any time, I could be like, "Show me the papers." Like,
it depends on the state. You have to publicly disclose where you live and update that address, or your parole people or whatever can come after you. I don't know how it is in every state. In California, under Megan's Law. It's harrowing. I challenge all of you in whatever state or country you're in. If you have a database that shows where registered sex offenders live, you will find out that they are all around you, and it's scary.
It's all around you.
Here's the thing, though. When you look at their offenses, it seems that the lion's share of them usually involve an offense along the lines of statutory rape, like an 18-year-old guy had sex with a 17-year-old girlfriend consensually. But because of that, he's a registered sex offender. So a lot of them are that. But still,
they should let them unregister so that down the road they can have.
Just unregister. No, it stays on the books forever.
unsubscribe.
A missionary passed away, sadly.
What was that?
Well, there was a missionary, Matthew Palmer, serving a mission in Madagascar. He died of basically a brain aneurysm, something along those lines. He passed away in Johannesburg.
Bleeding.
They flew him out there. He had internal bleeding in his brain, and his family went out there. It's actually a very positive story. They talk about how wonderful of a kid he was. The family is actually donating his organs to doctors in South Africa. Say it could help as many as 80 people, all in Africa. And so it's even like a final gesture to really make a difference in all their lives. So it's actually a very touching experience. Good. That's not easy for any family, but I'm glad they are finding the silver lining in this experience. And also, how do I say it? There's no way to say this without sounding crass. Death is not fortunate in this sort of any of these situations, but at least this wasn't because of like stupid accidents or getting hit by a car. This was a medical thing that no one saw coming. I feel like if I had a family member who was a missionary who died and they died because of they were on their bike and they got smacked by a car for some reason, I'd be even more upset because I'd feel like that's more avoidable. An aneurysm is something that happens and it's terrible, but it's also totally unrelated to any conduct or any situational stuff.
Huh. And we're about out of time, but Jeff, you say there's a third Temple movie coming, yes?
Oh, I have it on extremely good authority. It might even come to Utah sooner, but it should be here in D.C. at least. We will be getting a third Temple movie.
Why are we getting so many of them? We were at two like 20 years.
By July 22nd, we should have a new Temple film. And that's at least here.
Are they changing these? Are they not using some of them because they portrayed stuff incorrectly? Or like, what's going on with them?
I believe we've often had two, at least the old ones from 89 and 90. It was just two. And I think that was just to not let us fixate on the notion that any of the characters being portrayed were those people. None of the actors were those people. I think it's just to give us different takes on it and that we remember that these are representations of what is portrayed.
What if we had one that they were just actors sitting in chairs in like black shirts on a black screen and they were just reading their monologues?
I think that'd be, we should do inside the actor's studio, like that.
Yeah.
Love James Lipton interview everybody afterwards. I'd be okay with that. I would love it if
behind the scenes for afterwards, deleted scenes. It's like, oh my gosh.
It could be like one of those Fathom events that they advertise when you go to the movies. A live reading.
Yeah, that might work.
Only on August 2nd in theaters. Side note, I've never paid to do one of those Fathom events things when they live broadcast something from the Met into your movie theater. It costs like $40. Why would
I never
spend
that
kind of
money? Never. Anyway, Jeff, what a delightful.
You don't want to talk about Mormon crickets or the anti-gay convention?
No, everything else is pretty much meh.
What about sexual violence against college-age Mormons? That's a big story that just dropped today.
Where is that?
I didn't put it on the list. I just found it while we were talking. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. We'll save it next week, folks.
Stay tuned, everybody. But in the meantime, you can contact us. Email us at contact@thisweekinmormons.com. Many of you have been. And we love your emails. We always try and provide some sort of snarky response that makes you feel like less of a person. So I do hereby...
By we, that is Al.
...behest that you
email
us.
I seek to uplift.
Or... come visit us at thisweekinmormons.com, leave a comment, and equally, we again will try and belittle you in some way. It's our thing.
You know what else we love? We love it when you tweet at us, too. So find us on Twitter, @TheRealTwim, and go to our Facebook page as well. We love it when you message us on there. All those things are good. And there are some of you who even leave YouTube comments. Thank you, YouTube listeners.
Adorable.
I'm actually amazed how many people listen on YouTube, so... this is for all of you, folks. Thank you for being on YouTube.
Tens of people.
Thank you for supporting us on there. And for those of you who haven't been to our page, find us on YouTube. We're on there.
You can
also find our other podcasts, Sunday School Bonanza, Gospel Doctrine Rundowns. Great one to share with your friends. It's very useful. We get rave reviews. Rave reviews. People love it. And Third Hour of Power for the manual for priesthood, which I guess I have to care about more now because now I actually go to priesthood. So that's exciting.
It's the best. It's the best.
So there we go.
All right, man. Jeff, have a great week, buddy.
You too, Al. Have a nice time, you know, trying to meet ladies and stuff.
Oh, I'll do all of those things and more, and you'll hear about it next week on This Week in Mormons.
ThisWeekInMormons.com.